heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple of matters of business, and then right to our phone callers. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. As Randy just mentioned, translates to 888-275-4265. You can call that number. I'll be answering your questions in just a few minutes. But I do want to mention the cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal has to do with marijuana. This is a very timely topic. And as such, we have devoted a good deal of space to that subject in the Christian Research Journal. Marijuana is being legalized, not only for medical use, but also for recreational use. Pandora's box is open. And I think that the liabilities that are inherent in smoking or eating marijuana are very significant. There are psychophysical problems. There are occult dangers. There's also the THC liability. THC standing for tetrahydrocannabinol. And to put it plainly, when smoking or eating pot, there's simply no objective way to control dosages of THC, which is the psychoactive chemical that's inherent in marijuana. By and large, people simply partake until they achieve a subjective sense of high. The danger here is that, just as in the golf swing, feel is hardly real. A mere 4 inhalations of THC is all it takes to achieve an altered state of consciousness. And put that another way, a dosage as little as 7 milligrams of THC becomes an unwelcome gateway into spiritual and psychophysical maladies that continue to spiral lives into viral dives. Again, we've written about this in the cover story of the Christian Research Journal, available for your subscription when you go to the web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. As mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, also available now for your gift, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. A couple of months ago, I was urged by our staff to sit down and write this book, and I did. And I'm so happy to have it in my hand and to be able to put it in your hand as well. You think about the prophets who identified Jesus with such specificity that only one could emerge. His ancestry marked thousands of years prior to his birth. His birthplace in Bethlehem likewise foretold. The circumstances surrounding his death prophesied in minute detail before crucifixion was ever invented. The date of his visitation predicted within historically narrow time frame. An extraordinary miracle worker who would fulfill the law and the prophets, and a light for the Gentiles so that salvation would go out to the ends of the earth. The prophecies concerning Jesus Christ simply so precise that the probabilities of someone fulfilling them by chance don't exist. As Peter put it, no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. No mere mortal can write history prior to the fact. God and God alone could have etched Christ's portrait in the old and cause it to come in flesh in the new. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about incarnation, God coming in flesh. This is one of the most mind-boggling truths of all of Scripture. It is a truth when you think about it in naturalistic terms, becomes absolutely implausible. This is a supernatural invasion of history. It is an invasion by the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And so sometimes I think that incarnation is passed over as a big word, and we fail to revel in its truth. And again, that's why I'm so glad that our staff talked me into writing this book. It is available only for those that support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can get your copy. It's available right now. For your gift, when you go to the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are also available to you. You can call them, get your copy by simply dialing 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And one final order of business, and this is a very important one that I've resisted for a long time because I think these kinds of things can be contrived. I can assure you this one is not. If you've been listening to the broadcast, you know that we face some very significant headwinds financially over the last 2 or 3 months. What's more, the challenges have come at a time when the Christian Research Institute is planning some very bold and historic initiatives for the coming year. And realizing this, a very committed ministry supporter, partner, wanted to encourage others to join him in standing with the Christian Research Institute by making a matching gift of $40,000. Again, I have resisted matching gifts because my thought was always, look, if a supporter is going to support us, he's going to give the money to us anyway. And therefore, it's somewhat of a contrivance. But I can assure you, this was something that came from the heart of a supporter of the ministry. And because of that, and when I was assured of that, I said, okay, this is something that I'll bring to our listeners. And so here's what you can do. There's two different types of gifts that can be matched. First, monthly support. If you're not currently a monthly supporter but decide to become one in the month of November, the annual value of your gift will be matched dollar for dollar. So let's say you're giving $25 a month. You multiply that by 12, I think it comes to $300. That $300 will be matched, and therefore we will receive $600. And you can do the math yourself. $25 becomes $50, $100 becomes $200, $500 becomes $1,000. If you multiply that out times 12 monthly support over a year, that's $12,000. That'll be matched by another $12,000. So the basic idea here is if you become a monthly supporter, you can multiply what you're giving per month by 12, and it'll be doubled. Dollar for dollar will be matched. Likewise, if you decide to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Christian Research Institute with your commitment of $25 per month or $300 per year, the value of all gifts in November will be matched dollar for dollar again this month and each month going forward. So you can call, you can go online right now and make your monthly commitment or make your first-time gift to strengthen the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Hope all of that was crystal clear. The bottom line in all of this is whether you become a monthly supporter or you give a one-time gift, whatever you do right now will be matched dollar for dollar. So whatever you give will be doubled. That's the essence of this matching gift. It's real. That's very significant to the many outreaches of the Christian Research Institute around the world. Of course, very significant to the Bible Answer Man broadcast as well. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And a reminder that resource consultants are standing by. The number to dial, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Dan, he's listening in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Dan. Dan, you are not coming through clearly. Hopefully we can get a better connection in a little bit. Bill, next in Des Moines, Iowa. listening on NRB television. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, my question is, I'm going to an apostolic church. My pastor has told me flat out that because I have not spoken in tongues, therefore I am not saved and I will not be raptured.
Yeah, I would get out of that church as quickly as I could. That's a dangerous place to be, because think about the socio-psychological pressure that puts on someone. No tongues, no salvation. This puts the kind of pressure on adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues, because if you don't speak in tongues, you're not only lacking in faith, but you're entirely unrepentant and therefore not saved, according to this pastor. This is a very unhealthy environment to be in. In fact, what the pastor is communicating is sheer heresy. Now, I happen to speak in tongues. I speak Dutch, Afrikaans, I speak English, so I can speak various languages, but that has nothing to do with my salvation. I'm saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone.
All right, I prayed for the gift. I've been praying for the gift and you know, been obedient and changed my life and repented time after time, and it just hasn't happened for me. But
that's the problem. People think that it's some kind of a magical gift. I mean, Paul didn't magically get the gift of tongues as the apostle of the Gentiles. No, he learned Aramaic, and he knew Greek, and he knew Hebrew, and he could seamlessly flow between those languages. And certainly that was a gift, and he manifested that gift. But this is something that he worked very hard at. Tongues are languages. The idea that this is some kind of a supernatural gift. Some people are gifted at learning languages, but in terms of being a supernatural gift, some language other than a human language, I don't think is biblical. At Babel, tongues were confused. Languages were confused. And this was because people were trying to build a human enterprise to themselves or for themselves. At Pentecost, you have the exact opposite. You have prophecy going out because everybody could understand what was being spoken, and therefore, instead of dividing, it united such that the gospel could go out to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, and my feeling, too, was, well, if I have to speak in tongues to be saved, then John 3:16 is not correct.
Yeah. We're not saved because we speak in tongues. We're saved, as I said, by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone. Very unhealthy oneness Pentecostal denomination. Now, there are Pentecostals that hold that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It is the evidence that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. It is called the second blessing. And while I disagree with them, I wouldn't call it heresy. But when someone says that you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved, that's rank heresy. I mean, it's not only heresy, it's ridiculous.
Okay. All right.
Well, find a healthy, well-balanced church.
What's that?
Find a healthy, well-balanced church.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone line. Samuel, Kansas City, Missouri, listening on the web. Hi, Samuel.
Hey, Hank, pardon me. I wanted to thank you for taking my call, for starters. So I was reading through the Bible here recently, and I came across the verse 1 Corinthians 11, verse 6, where it says, "For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head." Now, my question ultimately here, is that not the defining of a sin through Paul? And if so, is it possible that the modern church has misinterpreted this section in allowing women to go without their hair uncovered?
No, I mean, I think the principle behind the custom of a woman having her head covered is absolute. The custom itself is not. In other words, a woman should show respect for her husband, just as a husband should show respect for his wife. But the way in which that is done may not be with a veil or a head covering. So the principle is absolute, the custom is not. And I don't think we want to impose, for example, the Bible tells you to greet one another with a holy kiss. I mean, that's a custom in many places. When I was in Iran, the first two men I saw kissed me on either side of the cheek as I was entering the country. But that's not the way I showed respect for them. It's simply not part of my custom. But the respect part of it is something that is inviolate. So the principle is inviolate. The way in which it's manifested is not. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Please stay tuned for that.
Virtually all Christians agree that God has made himself known through revelation. Through the prophets and through his word, God has spoken to humanity. Yet what many fail to grasp is that Jesus, as God incarnate, is the ultimate self-revelation of God. To grasp how truly mind-boggling the incarnation is, you won't want to miss Hank Hanegraaff's new book by that name, Incarnation. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just to cross our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. As we look forward to the Advent and the Christmas season, perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, The text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Can you imagine the headline, God Takes on Flesh? Sounds like one of those wildly extravagant claims of the cheapest and cheesiest tabloids, doesn't it? Well, wild and extravagant it certainly is, but even more astonishing, absolutely true. That's the arresting impact of the Incarnation. The one who inhabits eternity has stepped into time to take on human flesh and dwell among us. Tragically, this mind-boggling event that profoundly altered the course of history, as well as millions of lives over the centuries, is often muffled in the fanfare and busyness of an increasingly commercial Christmas. Yet in his new book, Incarnation, Hank Hanegraaff reveals why God's ultimate act of self-revelation is a treasure beyond words. You don't want to miss Hank's new book, Incarnation. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone callers. Next up, Dennis in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on WTRU. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm hoping that you can shed some light. I listen to you as much as I possibly can, and I really am blessed by your ministry. I really am.
Thank you.
I'm wanting to know, where do you draw the line between the sovereignty of God and, I don't know how to phrase it. You probably will, but for instance, doctors. Me and my wife are going through something right now. A doctor has told us we need to have our child at 37 weeks, and I'm wondering, like, where does God's sovereignty take over? Is God's sovereignty in this doctor? Is God's sovereignty in how he created us to be? There's just been some complications. It's not life-threatening. The baby is not life-threatening, but the doctor is super worried about our baby and wants to get it out of my wife as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, I would listen to the doctor. I mean, this is why you're going to the doctor in the first place. And, there's a sense in which we are deeply committed to the sovereignty of God. But God also has given us human significance, and we can't take that lightly. God works through means. And he's working through those medical means. I mean, you can cut your finger and you can wait for it to heal, or you can do something to help it heal. And there's nothing wrong with you doing something to help it heal. You can say, if God wants my hands to be clean, he'll cause them to be clean. He's sovereign. Or you can pick up a bar of soap and wash your hands. So human significance should never be undervalued. Again, God works through means. And nor is everything fatalistically determined in life. The fact that God knows what is going to happen does not mean that what will happen is fatalistically determined. No, God knows everything. There's no question about that. But we know a lot as well. We can look backwards with time zero and know things with complete certainty, even though we didn't cause those things to happen. We're observers of those things happening, but we didn't cause them. So the fact we know exhaustively what happened does not mean that we are the causal agent of what happened. And again, this applies with respect to God, not only in the rearview mirror, but also going forward. So again, all of that to say that I would listen carefully to your doctor. If he's a competent doctor, he has concern, believes that the baby should be birthed through induced labor, I would listen seriously to that. We just had another grandchild, Caleb, and it was induced labor, and there were good reasons for it.
Okay, and I guess I'm not, I take your position on it, but and that's what I told my wife. My wife is extremely worried only for the fact that hey, this doesn't feel right. You know, this, you know, she is a very, she relies on God a lot. She just thought this was going to go 40 weeks. And I've tried to explain to her, do you know any passages of scripture that I could just go to and kind of comfort her in this, that God does have this under control and that it's okay. You obviously went to the doctor for a reason. You didn't just show up to the doctor because by chance.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if she needs another medical opinion, I mean, that's also an option to have this confirmed by another doctor. Nothing wrong with doing that. I had surgery on my nose about 6 months ago. I went to 4 different doctors, and I'm very glad that I did because I think in the end I found a doctor who was capable, and I had a lot of comfort knowing that he had the specific capabilities that were necessary because I had the same operation 20 years ago and 40 years ago, and neither of the operations were successful. So I went through real due diligence this time and just had the checkup today, and everything turned out just perfect. So, sometimes it's good to get a second or a third opinion. But in terms of a passage, the passage that I would go through with her over and over again, it's a passage I've personally committed to memory, Psalm 139. Because, yeah, it's just beautiful.
My favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite. I know it. You don't even have to tell me. It's my favorite.
Well, and you know, particularly that part that my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me, written in your book, for even one of them came to be. But also, I love the first part of this, you know, that you discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to contain. So, I mean, this is all a beautiful comfort, particularly with what your wife is going through.
Thank you, Hank, man. That's, I can't, words won't describe what I'm feeling, so I won't try. Thank you so much for your ministry, and I will make sure that I will donate as much as I possibly can to your ministry this month. I hope everybody else does too.
Thank you, Dennis. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you, and let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dan Burnaby, British Columbia. Hopefully we have a connection. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I would just like to find out, since a friend of mine recently rose such a question, what is the take, the Protestant Church, or what is the Christian take on the comparison in between what the archaeologists are saying about the history of the Earth and the species that changed in such a time frame?
Yeah.
And what would be if very different, what would be the explanation we should understand related to what the religious point view is about a much shorter time frame for creation?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And the way I would look at it is this. If you look at the first 11 chapters of Genesis, what they give you is the macro issues. It's kind of like listening to a series and picking up, let's say, series number 6, where you have to, if you haven't listened to the first 5 in the series, you got to get caught up to speed. And so you get the macro issues in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, but the Bible throughout is designed to communicate God's unfolding plan of redemption. And it starts when Abraham is called in Genesis chapter 12 from Ur of the Chaldees, and he becomes the father of many nations, ultimately through whom the Messiah will come and through whom we will have redemption. So the Bible's God's unfolding plan of redemption from paradise lost to paradise restored. The Bible isn't intended to tell us how old the universe is. Now, there are ways in which God communicates that to us. God has not only given us, as we see in Psalm 19, He's not only given us special revelation, but He's also given us general revelation, which is to say that His imprimatur is on the universe that He has created. And that's why Paul can say His eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. So if you want to know how old the universe is, you simply have to do good science. Now, if science would demonstrate, and by the way, science is not in a different universe from Scripture, in the sense that they're independent disciplines. No, they're overlapping, interlocking domains. But nonetheless, if you're doing good science, and science arose within the context of a biblical ethic, a biblical worldview, if you're doing good science, then I think that you inevitably come to the conclusion that the universe is old. The days that are given to us in Genesis are 24-hour days, but they're not given us so that we might have a chronology of creation, but rather so that we can remember God's purposes in creation during the normal seven-day cycle of our everyday lives. So they have nothing to do with chronology. In fact, if you look at Genesis carefully, you see that Genesis is written in such a way that you will not only hear, but you will remember. That's why, for example, Moses gives you the 10 themes in Genesis in such a way that you can remember them with your 10 fingers. It's why he gives you the 7 days so that you can remember during the normal cycle of living God's creative prowess and that we're the climax of his creative prowess. It's why he gives us the 10 generations before the flood and 10 after. They're not sequential, but rather they are given to us in such a way that we can remember. So they're beautiful in terms of the symmetry, but they're not intended to be understood as a sequence. So again, if you want to know how old the universe is, the way you find that out is by looking at God's created handiwork. For example, here's a simple observable astronomical event like supernova 1987A. Now, the reason I love this one is it is an event with an identifiable before and an identifiable after. So prior to 1987, the supernova was a star, was in a distant galaxy, and it was 168,000 light years away. But on February 23rd, 1987, the star explodes. It becomes a supernova. In other words, 168,000 years ago, the star explodes, and in 1987, the light of that event finally reaches the Earth. Unless, of course, God created the universe 6,000 years ago, then the supernova was like a documentary film of an event that never really happened to begin with. This is a very classic case in point to underscore the reality that the universe is far older than 5,000 or 6,000 years. Now, Bill Maher, who's a punmeister, used to actually believe that the universe was 5,000 years old. He actually confesses to that. Now he's so confused, can't get a radar fix on him. He looks at the two lights that God put in the sky and he says, well, the Bible must not be reliable because there's only one great light, the sun. The other reflects light. So he doesn't even have a sense of phenomenological language. But this is the kind of thing that we run into with fundamentalism on the left as well as fundamentalism on the right. I think the evidence in general revelation, God's imprimatur, is that the universe is old. Be right back.
If you were asked by a noted historian what were the 5 greatest events in human history, how would you answer? Clearly, the question is provocative. While many people would understandably disagree on the answers, we're confident that the incarnation and the resurrection would be numbers 1 and 2. And Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Incarnation, tells why. The incarnation is the ultimate self-revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our thank you for your gift, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man." For sober and serious thinkers, the fact that God truly became man in the person of Jesus staggers the imagination. The very thought that the one who caused hundreds of billions of galaxies to leap into existence should cloak himself in human flesh is, well, unthinkable. Yet in the incarnation, the unthinkable has become real. God has taken on human flesh, not merely to alter the course of human history, but to alter the course of the cosmos. In his new book, Incarnation, Hank Hanegraaff plumbs the depths of this ultimate self-revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is James in Fayetteville, Arkansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. First, of course, thank you so much for your ministry. It means so much to a lot of us. I'm going through some issues with myself, and I just wanted to ask your opinion on the biblical, how you look at the Brittany Maynard situation that's been going on, and you read about on the internet and stuff, and if it's okay, I'll listen on the radio and take your answer.
Yeah, as I understand it, Brittany Maynard committed suicide. What I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is that regardless of the circumstances, we should never take the prerogative of God upon ourselves, which is to say that it is God alone who marks the time of our life, and we should not take that life issue into our own hands. In Christian theology, the timing and terms of death are the province of God alone, period. And as such, we're never permitted to usurp the prerogative of divinity. Hastening death based on subjective judgments concerning the quality of one's life is a direct violation of Scripture. And therefore, while passive euthanasia is morally permissible and that it allows the process of dying to run its natural course, active euthanasia is morally prohibited because it directly involves the taking of a human life. And whether that's done through a doctor or whether you do it yourself through suicide, it still is something that the Bible, in very strict and direct terms, prohibits. And I think there's a further point that needs to be made, and that is from a biblical perspective, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And therefore, like suffering for our faith, physical suffering has redemptive value. It could be likened unto, well, a furnace that rids us of the dross and fashions us more and more like unto our Lord. As Spurgeon once said, "I am certain that I never grew in grace one half so much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain." Or as C.S. Lewis once put it, "God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." That, of course, is not to say that there is virtue in needless suffering, to mitigate suffering through the modern miracle of pain management is certainly consistent with both the Hippocratic Oath and with biblical morality. I've written about this in several entries in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. By the way, I spoke about the age of the earth, a subject that I deal with in the Creation Answer Book, also available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, both books available for your gift. And when you get one of those books and you become a monthly supporter, I'd be happy to personalize it to you, a family member, or a friend. And do remember, your gift is matched this month, as I mentioned in the first segment of the broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Doug, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Doug.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Hi.
Do you believe in a predestination?
Well, I believe that Christ is the predestined one. He is the elect one, and if we are in Christ by virtue of that, we are elect. I mean, this is one of the points that Paul makes in Galatians chapter 3, that Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. And Paul says, not seeds plural, but seed singular. He's the royal seed of Abraham. And if we are found in Jesus Christ, then by virtue of that, whether we're Jew or Greek, whether we're slave or free, whether male or female, has nothing to do with your station in life, your nationality, your gender. If you are found in Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. But the reason you're the seed of Abraham is because you're found in Abraham's royal seed, singular, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. So it was all part of the plan, God's plan. He was one step ahead of everybody to reject Jesus and murder and execute him. God knew all that ahead of time.
Well, the fact that God, it's true, you're absolutely right to say that God knew about that ahead of time, but the fact that God knew about it ahead of time does not mean that God is the causal agent. I mean, if you go down that road, you make God evil. Because if you start with this presupposition, you can go all the way back to Adam. Say, God knew that Adam would sin. Therefore, the next step would be to say, well, God caused Adam to sin. If God caused Adam to sin, then God is the causal agent of sin. And once you say that God is the causal agent of sin, it's very difficult philosophically to extract God from being evil himself. If he is the author of evil, how do you separate that from God being evil himself? So I'd be very cautious with those words and going down that particular stream of thought.
So the Jews knew who Jesus was, and they knew that they should reject him because that was God's plan.
Oh, no. In fact, if you see the words of Jesus, he contradicts those sentiments emphatically. Remember his emotionally charged words as he's walking away from the temple, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather you children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Or as John explains, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So the idea that somehow or other Jesus kept them from receiving him is completely in conflict with the very clear words of Jesus Christ himself.
So you say it was a mistake to kill Jesus?
Well, what I'm saying is that through the death of Jesus Christ, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So that God works great things even out of tragedies. So through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, we are reconciled to God for time and for eternity.
So it is a mistake.
No, I don't. I'm not saying it's a mistake. I'm saying that God uses all things together for good.
No, you have to say it's a mistake.
It is a great and horrendous evil to take the unblemished lamb and to crucify him without cause. And therefore, those who crucified him are justly and condignly culpable for their sin. But that God used the most brutal act in human history as the most beautiful salvific act of all of history certainly is a glorious thought. It is not a mistake or a sin. God, again, can take even the evil of humanity and use it for his purposes. So God in all things is sovereign. In any circumstance, you can never minimize the sovereignty of God. You can never mitigate the justice of God, but you can also never abolish genuine human culpability. So human beings are culpable for what they do. They are justly and condignly condemned for what they do. So a sovereign God is able to take even those things. He's not working with a stacked deck. He's able to take even those things that are done by free creatures and use them for his good and for his glory.
See, that's a confusing message, because either it's got to be a mistake or it isn't a mistake. You can't have it both ways.
Well, you can. And it is a false choice that you are imposing upon the proposition.
Wasn't a prophecy like a warning, like don't do that or don't do this or this is
no. A prophecy is used in two different ways biblically. One, it is forthtelling, and it is used for strengthening and edification and encouragement and equipping and exhortation and the like, as delineated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But two, and I think more significantly from an Old Testament perspective, it is God telling you what is going to happen before it happens, so that when it happens, you will know that He is indeed God. I told you these things long ago before they took place, so that when they did take place, you would know that I am He, that I am the sovereign God. These are the words of God Himself. So I think that certainly prophecy is God's demonstration that everything in the Bible is in fact divinely inspired. The people, the places, and the particulars. And one of the most beautiful ways in which we see that is through the foretelling of what is going to happen. But forthtelling is prophecy in the sense of strengthening, edification, and encouragement, and the like. I've written about this in various places. If you're interested to delve into this, hang on. I'll put some information into your hands, or you can go to the web at equip.org. We'll get some information for you to look at there. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you are hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. I want to end the broadcast with a reminder of the matching gift. It's very, very significant in that, as you probably know if you've listened to the broadcast over the last few months, we've faced some very significant headwinds financially. What's more, the challenges have come at a time when CRI is planning some very bold and historic initiatives for the coming year. And realizing that, a very committed ministry supporter has stepped up with a large gift so that whenever you give, whatever you give will be matched by this donor. And so if you give monthly support, if you multiply what you would give, if you gave $25 a month, multiply that times 12, that's 300, that would be matched with a $300 gift. So it would be the equivalent of $600. Whatever you could do, deeply appreciated, used for God's glory, for the extension of His kingdom. We'll stay right here for the next hour. The number you can dial for the next hour to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. As we look forward to the Advent and the Christmas season, perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.